just to get down. Devin now. I wake up just to get down. Devin now. Hey, I wake up just to get down.
I don't know if they're
develop these bars for the developing stars, whoa. Ranked by their stars though, but they know just who they are. The knowledge is deep, man, cause college is bleak, man. The knees of the bees, man, people's champ, man, true now. I trust them with everything, every conference giving me confidence. Hipping is hopping and really no stopping them. Make you a champion, y'all put a sock in it, woo! But this is life, bro, they're at it all night though. So you can just drive slow and get down with the Devi crew.
I wake up just to get down. Devi now. I wake up just to get down. Devi now. Hey, I wake up just to get down.
I don't know if they're
All right, ladies and gentlemen, welcome everybody. This is episode 19 of Devi Happy Hour. This is where we're going to do a season preview, just kind of a, we got a new co-host. We're just going to kind of bounce around a little bit, kind of more of a free-form episode. You can find this podcast on Twitter at Devi Happy Hour. You can email us at devihappyhour@gmail.com. If you'd like to email us questions, pictures of your roster, anything like that, we're more than happy to help out. I'm your host, Dwight. You can find me on Twitter at FF People's Champ. But right now, I'm going to introduce my two awesome co-hosts. First up, we have the man, the myth, the legend, Matt Commish McGriff. How you doing, Matt?
Dwight, we're 1 week closer to real football, both college and NFL, and I'm doing fantastic.
You know, we're like 48 hours, aren't we? Like less than 48 hours. Well, I don't know. By the time this releases, will be 48 hours, yeah. All right, and we also have another co-host now. Unfortunately, Andrew is not with us anymore. He's going to go and focus more on the scouting aspect. But with the leaving of Andrew, we also get a new awesome co-host that I'm absolutely totally excited about, another guy who really knows his stuff, Mr. Ray Garvin. How you doing, Ray?
I'm good, man. I'm glad you guys found me in the clearance section and asked me to come on the show. So this,
whatever,
is, man. This is exciting.
You're the clearance puppy. No, I'm kidding. No. No, if you guys are not, that is the farthest thing from the truth, man. Ray has his own awesome podcast, the Destination Devi podcast, that if you are not listening to, you need to make sure you do, because it is crazy amounts of information wrapped up in positivity and awesomeness as Ray. So we are blessed to have Ray on here. So
I think Tyler goes, hey, we got Commissioner Griff, former football player, Meathead. Let's get a former football player who actually knows some stuff about Devi. Let's get Ray in here, too, to back him up. So, no, glad to have you, dude, and looking forward to it.
All right, guys, sweet. We're going to dive in. We just have a little bit of news this week. Kind of a big chunk of news.
Excited to be here, man. Excited.
Yeah, we're going to dive into news. We have, like, a huge, huge thing of news, I thought. Bo Nix actually got the starting job at Auburn over Joey Gatewood, which I thought was pretty impressive. The true freshman to beat out the redshirt freshman. And I think everybody kind of assumed Gatewood had the job. So I was kind of surprised by that. What do you guys think?
I love it. I mean, I like seeing this young blood come in here, and obviously he was highly touted coming out, and they're giving him opportunity really early, and maybe a little bit surprising. And, you know, who knows, it's maybe less of the NFL approach and try and get these guys, you know, a calendar year sitting on the bench, what they used to try to strive for. But, hey, let's, you know, fire it up. I mean, Auburn's got a lot of ground to make up with some of the top teams in the SEC, right? So might as well start grooming that guy now.
Right, and they have a couple amazing young wide receivers, a couple good running backs. And actually, if you guys haven't listened to Destination Devi this week, Ray does cover this. Actually, he did talk about Bo Nix and stuff, so I was pretty excited to listen to that this morning, knowing we'd be talking about it tonight. So.
Yeah, I think Bo Nix is dope, man. I'm really excited about him. True freshman down there. I think it's going to be a good deal for him, for Auburn, for the skill position players there. Seth Williams, excited about him. And I mean, he's doing it in the SEC, so he's going to have a chance to really show his stuff versus the LSUs and the Alabamas and the Floridas and the Ole Misses and the Mississippi State. So I'm excited for this kid, man.
Yeah, and they've got a nasty defense, couple defensive linemen that'll be playing in the NFL next year. So I like Auburn. Maybe they'll make some noise this year. A couple other guys were announced starters. These ones probably weren't much of a surprise. Justin Fields got the job in Ohio State and JT Daniels at USC. Not surprised by either of those. And Ray also talked about both of those guys in Destination Devy this week. So I didn't want to do too much regarding those guys because you should be listening to Destination Devy and Ray will talk about those. So anyways, that's kind of the news for the week. There was just a couple starting jobs announced. But other than that, you guys got anything else to add?
Hey, fight on. Let's go Trojans, man.
Yeah, there was a little bit of worry there that because of the regime that he may not get the job, and I still think they might pull him if things start going bad. They were talking about that on Stick to Football, I think. Yeah, about how the regime in USC, if things start going bad, it's pretty much looks – everybody just assumes Urban Meyer is going to be the next coach there, which annoys the hell out of me, but yeah. And Ray's wearing the USC shirt. I like it. We're going to dive into the college games. We've got a couple college games this weekend. The first one I'm crazy, crazy excited about. I can't believe that the college football would lead off with one of, I think, one of the bigger games of the year. A game that just means so much in rivalry. Miami versus Florida. These two teams, like, hate each other. They fight over recruits. Florida's ranked, I believe, 8th. Miami's not ranked, but they could be ranked at some point if things start going well. And I just love that this game is like the first college game. That's just, it's just a nasty rivalry. Usually you see, like, you know, the LSU and Texas, which is, I think, next week or a couple weeks. You see a game like that, but you don't normally see such a nasty rivalry game to lead off the year. So Ray, I'm going to start with you. Who are you looking at in this game as far as like Devy prospects and stuff?
Yeah, I think it's, you start off with I'm looking at Miami and the tight end Brevin Jordan. You know, that's a guy that I'm really excited about for, you know, a multitude of reasons. It's just, A, it's so hard to scout college tight ends, but when you've got one that's athletic like he is, and Miami's had a good track record in history of producing top tight ends from Greg Olsen to Jeremy Shockey, Chris Herndon, you know, the list goes on and on and on. Really excited about Brevin Jordan. I'm excited about Jeff Thomas. I want to see what this freshman quarterback's going to do. I want to see if Tate Martell actually lines up at wide receiver. And then from the Florida side, I mean, you've got, you know, Felipe Franks at quarterback. You've got LaMichael Perine at running back. And then I'm really, really excited to watch, you know, I don't play in a lot of IDP leagues, but CJ Henderson out there, cornerback, I'm really excited to watch him go up against Jeff Thomas. So, I mean, there are a lot of guys out there that I'm excited for this week.
Yeah, I mean, yeah, you guys are nailing it. Brevin Jordan, clearly the one I want to watch the most, or the one I'm most excited to see. And then there's a certain level of, and it just goes with the territory, I guess, Miami running backs, and just because of the history that they have there. And DJ Dallas is not getting really any credit, any shine whatsoever. But, you know, good-sized running back, and I just always kind of want to see what the running backs with the U on their helmet are doing. They're always – Miami running backs, just the history there, I feel like one can always emerge. You never know what's going to happen. You always can expect somebody to compete down there and be a talent and be fighting for his own name recognition. Excuse me. But I could see I'm curious to see what that backfield does.
You guys covered it. You hit the right on the head. I'm curious to see what the freshman quarterback, the redshirt freshman Jaren Williams, does for Miami. I mean, there he's got Tate Martell breathing down his back, and I think his leash is going to be very, very short. You guys mentioned everybody that I was thinking of. The CJ Henderson versus Jeff Thomas is probably the big one I'm watching, and I'm watching Brevin Jordan. I'm so excited about him. There's a couple defensive guys. Florida's got Jabari Zuniga, is how I guess it pre-pronounced, just this nasty defensive end. And they've got two of the best linebackers in the country in Shaq Quarterman and Michael Pinckney. So those are guys that I'm watching from an IDP standpoint. But just the game is just such a rivalry game. You know, there's probably going to be fights. You know, the turnover chain will be out. It's just fun to lead off with a game that's got that much behind it. So I love rivalry games. We usually have to wait till quite a ways into the season to see a rivalry. So I'm really excited the college football lead off that way. So.
It's a treat to have it that early. You know what I mean? Like opening weekend to have, you know, Florida, Miami, that's crazy.
Yeah, I just, yeah, what a brilliant, brilliant matchup. Like, I love it. Like, it's just almost like leading the season off with a Super Bowl kind of, you know, like it's just a fun game to start the game off, year off with. So the other game this week is Arizona versus Hawaii. I don't know. I didn't see any Debbie Quarter, anybody that I'm really watching in that game. Just going to be a fun, high-scoring game. What do you guys think?
That's what I was thinking. High-scoring. This is going to be one of those track meets on a football field. Lots of offense. You know Hawaii does. They're going to run four or five wide all game long, and Cole McDonald's just going to hook it up for 350 to 400 yards. And then on the other side, combo of Tate and Taylor probably going to rush for a combined 250 to 300 yards. So it'll be a fun game to watch. But yeah, not a whole lot of Debbie takeaways from that game, I don't think.
So talk me off of a ledge, because I'm either trying to convince myself to like Cole McDonald, or, you know, I'm having nightmares of Colt Brennan and Timmy Chang. Like, is he not somebody that we should be paying attention to? You know, in, you know, even if it's a 14 team league, let's say super flex. I mean, does he have no NFL potential whatsoever?
You'd like to think he does. You know, you watch him play and he slings it. Like, he is just slings it everywhere. He makes these throws, you know, but you always worry that they're just designed, you know, crazy offenses that are going to, you know, offenses in the NFL don't have guys open like Hawaii's offense, you know. So you always kind of worry how it's going to translate. So I guess you probably would just have to watch him really close and watch how he reads and everything. But he can make the throws. So maybe you're not entirely crazy, but history has not been on our side with that. So what do you think, Grant, Matt?
Same thing. I mean, he definitely has a chance. I think if you're a quarterback and you have skill, you definitely have a chance to make it there. It's such a valued position. One thing I was going to note too is, you know, not to fade away from Cole McDonald, but I at the receiving core, I feel like somebody every year is coming out of that Hawaii receiving core, making an NFL team, whether it's a, you know, a real impact or not, but it's something you got to watch just because they're going to put up crazy stats. And I was looking earlier, I feel like out of the eight receivers or nine receivers that I saw on their depth chart, seven of them were transfers from JUCO. So they're not, you know, a little bit more the harder route, but some players for sure. And so they're definitely targeting that guy. They want some guys in there. So they got Cole McDonald, a little bit more of some seasoned guys. But he definitely will have a chance to, you know, put himself on some NFL scouts radars for sure. And I don't see why he couldn't get into a camp somewhere next year.
I'm really excited about, you know, Heisman and everything this year. I actually read an article today for the W Watch where they all, or several guys on their staff, picked who they thought was going to win the Heisman. And I'll go over those real quick. They, out of the seven writers, four picked Justin Fields, which surprised me. Two picked Trevor Lawrence and one picked Tua. So, like, they all went the quarterback route. So, doesn't entirely surprise me. And I pulled up the Vegas odds. Tua's got the best odds at plus 250. Trevor's got plus 275, and Justin Fields has plus 900. So those are the top three guys on there. I'm not going to go through the whole list, but I want you guys to – we'll start off with you on this one, Matt. Like, who is somebody that really caught your name on the list that should probably be too high and – or that probably should be higher, I'm sorry, and that someone who's too low?
You know, I don't do a whole lot of betting, but looking at the odds right here, I'm taking Jalen Hurts over the other three with his odds. So he's plus 1,000. Hurts got a lot of talent. He's in now a really much more advantageous defensive type of conference, right, in the Big 12 versus where he came from in the SEC. He's got all the weapons. I was just kind of thinking about some of these receiving corps in the college landscape right now, and it's just filthy. But Oklahoma probably has the third best receiving corps in the country, outside of Clemson and Alabama right now. And so he's got those guys paired with that backfield and less than stellar defenses that he's going to be playing week to week. That Heisman resides in Norman. You know, they got back-to-back trophies sitting over there in their offices. So I think he'd be the one I'd put my money on right now.
Yeah, he's at plus 1,000. So is there anybody you thought was just on this list that was way too high?
Too high. I wrote something down. I'm trying to remember now.
Herbert.
I think two. I wrote too high. I said Adrian Martinez. Although I love Martinez, and you guys know he's a Clovis guy. He went to high school right down the street here. I just don't think he'll have that kind of impact this year, especially with, I guess, more so against his competition. Shea Patterson, I don't see it. And A.J. Dillon was the second highest running back, third highest running back on here on the Vegas odds list. And outside of Taylor and Najee, and I just don't think Dillon will be able to put himself into that top five category. Yeah, that's just kind of the guys that just seem too high for me on the list.
Right. What about you, Ray? What did you think when you saw this list here?
Yeah, I mean, no surprise for me. You got Tua and Trevor Lawrence right there at the top, you know, plus 250, plus 275. I was a little surprised to see Justin Fields that high, to be honest with you. You know, third highest odds, you know, new transfer quarterback, new system, new coach, lost a lot of weapons. I was surprised by that one. For me, somebody that I'm from Vegas, so I am a betting man. And if I was going to put money on a quarterback here or a player from these Heisman odds, it'd be Texas quarterback Sam Ehlinger. And I'm not the biggest Ehlinger fan for Devy or for NFL potential, but normally the Heisman Trophy is given to the best player on, you know, either the best team in college football or one of the best teams in college football. That's just sort of how it works. So, process of elimination. If Randy Moss didn't win the Heisman as a wide receiver, we don't even need to be looking at any wide receivers on this list to actually win the Heisman. Running back, you know, Jonathan Taylor, Wisconsin's not going to win enough. I mean, he put up 2,000 yards and wasn't even a finalist invited to go to the ceremony. But I think Texas has a shot to win the Big 12. And if they beat Oklahoma, the Red River Shootout, if they win the Big 12, if they enter into the college football playoffs, I mean, he's got so many weapons around him. Tom Herman's third year, I really could see him pulling off, you know, an upset and taking home that trophy, the first Texas quarterback to do it since Vince Young. I can definitely – he's going to have the stats. He's going to have it on the ground and through the air. So if I were a betting man, I would put my money on Ehlinger, who's sitting at plus 1,500 right now.
Right. Who do you think is way too high then? Like, is there anybody else?
Jake Fromm, I have no clue why he's that high. What's he, the fifth or sixth highest? I mean, their receiving weapons are all unproven. They've got so many running backs. I have no clue why you would put money on Jake Fromm. Shea Patterson, Najee Harris, you know, I like Najee Harris, but there's no way. It's just not going to happen. Those guys are way, way too high, in my opinion. That just sort of, and then like Matt said, A.J. Dillon, get out of here. You know, that's just not, you're just wasting money putting it on players like that. So realistically, Jake Fromm being where he is, that was just kind of crazy for me and Shea Patterson.
You know, the other one too that I could picture in like the final. Like the final, going into the final weeks of the season, you're still talking about him. I don't think he has a real chance of winning, but De'Eriq King. And I hope I didn't just pull one. All right, then I'll stop. I'll stop. That's
exactly who I was going to say, man.
Okay, go for it.
Unfortunately, it's the big school thing. Like, if they legitimately said this is the college football landscape and we are going to take the craziest, like, statistic player, or the guy that made the most for his team, it's De'Eriq King, without a doubt. Like, he should be, like, even odds. Because he's going to put up 60 touchdowns this year. I mean, the dude's insane. But he plays in Houston, and he doesn't play good competition. So, I was actually a little surprised that Rondale Moore was so low. ETN was below Najee Harris, which I thought was kind of crazy. I really just don't see Najee putting up the type of numbers that could put him into consideration. But you actually stole my guy, right? If I had money, I would put it on Ehlinger as well. I can see them taking the next step. I do see them winning the Big 12. Oklahoma did lose four offensive linemen in the last year, so I don't know how they're going to transition, how good that offense is going to be this year. It'll be good, but I can see them possibly taking a step back. So I see Texas and Ehlinger just doing some huge, huge things this year, and I would put my money on him as well. So
I got a question for you guys. It's more than likely top four of them will be quarterbacks. Who is the running back that actually has the real chance of winning it? Because we've just seen Taylor, what he did last year, and really got no love. Going to be Etienne? I mean, if the Clemson has that good of a year again, if they're back in that national championship game, The only thing with him is, like, if they're there, then it's going to be Trevor Lawrence is going to get way more votes than Etienne in that kind of circumstance. So could it be – I mean, could Najee get the most – have the best chance out of the running backs because of the team? I mean, who is not – you don't think Swift's going to get that workload all year long because they're going to split the carries around. Who's the one running back? If you had a bet on it for both of you guys.
See, it's hard with those two guys, with Etienne and Harris, because they both have so much good talent around them. Like, I can't see ETN winning it unless something happens to Lawrence and they're forced to really rely on him and he puts up, you know, 2,000 yards and 29 touchdowns, you know. Like, it's going to take some insane, insane season. And they still win it all, you know, but it's on his back instead of on Lawrence's back. I think they kind of take a little bit off of each other, but Lawrence is going to get the more publicity because of, you know, it's quarterback. It's a quarterback-driven league. And the same with Tua. As long as Alabama's winning and Tua's putting up numbers and he's the quarterback, he's the top candidate.
Yeah.
No matter how good Judy is, no matter how good Najee Harris is, like, they're going to kind of sort of cancel each other out almost, and it goes against the favor of the position players. Shouldn't. I really wish we would see a running backs and wide receivers win the Heisman and defensive players. That would be nice. But I just don't see it happening. What do you think, Ray?
See, and I really – this is really interesting because – and – this is not an indictment against Clemson, because I think the issue with Clemson this year is I believe that their path to an undefeated season is clearer and easier than Alabama. Alabama, I mean, LSU, that's going to be a dogfight. You know, Ole Miss, that's going to be tough. A&M, that's going to be tough. And I think that Trevor Lawrence, Travis Etienne, come third quarter, I mean, they're pulling those guys. I just don't see them finishing very many games early on in this season. So they're not going to have, not that Trevor Lawrence isn't going to put up ridiculous numbers. I just think that players like Tua, I can see them having to play a little bit longer and having to put up those stats opposed to Trevor Lawrence and Travis Etienne. So I just don't think, while I think they're going to be very impressive, I just see their path a hell of a lot easier than Alabama's path to an undefeated season or a conference championship, which will lead Tua to have those crazy comeback moments, right? If they're in the SEC title game against Georgia and he can orchestrate some drive to win it, I mean, there he is. Whereas I just see Clemson completely destroying everybody in the ACC. And I just don't see them playing enough to actually pull it off. So to answer your question, Matt, if I had to say what running back would it be, I'd say it's Jonathan Taylor. If he goes with Wisconsin losing 3-4 linemen, if he does another 2,000 yards, he's going to have the volume. Swift's not going to have the volume. I don't believe Etienne is going to play enough to put up those counting stats. So if Jonathan Taylor can bust another 2,000-yard season and 20 touchdowns, I think he'll get an invite to the Heisman ceremony.
I think you had a good point, man, with the whole signature win thing that you hear about towards the middle to tail end of the NCAA season. Everyone wants to talk about the Heisman, the real Heisman hopefuls. You got to have those signature wins, and you almost think two is good for like 2 to 3 of those, where it'll be an easy sell with a signature win. It's gonna be some fourth quarter drive against so and so that just was filthy. But you're right, if Clemson's blowing people out and they got that easy ride, there's not gonna be a signature win there.
Right. I thought Tua should have won the Heisman last year because of that. I felt like they played harder games, harder schedule. But ultimately, when he faltered in the SEC championship game and he was pulled out, I think that kind of hurt him a little bit. But I still thought he was the best player, and he should have got it last year. But that's just my own personal opinion.
Quick note, though, since 1988, when Barry Sanders won the Heisman, only 5 running backs have won it in those last 20 years, and 2 of those have been Bama backs with Mark Ingram and Henry. Just kind of an interesting little note.
Right. Yeah. Other than that, I couldn't think of really anybody on this list that could make this list. There was nobody that really even popped out. And I had asked in the show sheet, you know, who you think is the best Debbie prospect. And that's hard. I mean, let's take out the quarterbacks. Who do you think on this list is going to be the best Debbie prospect, you know, for the NFL? Because there's some of these guys that I just don't see translating very well in the NFL. So
the best Debbie prospect from this list, and you said no quarterbacks, right?
Right.
I'm going to stick with DeAndre Swift. And the reason why I'm going to stick with Swift is he's a three-down threat. I mean, he's going to run the ball. He's going to catch the ball out of the backfield. Running back, I mean, I think he's going to have an immediate – it's the least hard position to translate two from college in the NFL, and he can do it. He can do it all. And I know a lot of people are concerned about him not having a full workload. Like, I like that. Like, he's coming in fresh. He's probably not going to go in the top 10, top 15, so he'll land in a better offensive situation. I really believe that DeAndre Swift is the best Devy prospect. If I had the 101 with just these guys, I'd take DeAndre Swift over every other player outside the quarterback position.
Right. I think most people would agree with you. What do you think, Matt?
Yeah, I'm just kind of, sticking true to my own Devy rankings. Swift would be my guy. But if we're kind of basing it off of these Vegas odds, looking further down the list with some of the greater odds or the higher odds, Eno Benjamin with a plus 8,000, love that. And then even farther down, Tylan Wallace with a plus 10,000, or T. Higgins with a plus 6,000. But, you know, clearly just going with the best player available, according to my own Devy rankings, whether it's Heisman trophies or not, but Jerry Jeudy and DeAndre Swift for me.
Yeah, I have Jerry first, but Ray and I kind of talked a little bit about it earlier. You know, the wide receiver thing kind of scares you a little bit with landing spots and things. So he kind of asked me what I would do if Jerry Jeudy ended up in a bad spot. And I don't know. I'd like to think that I'd still take him first, but, you know, I feel like I've seen the landing spots just sink wide receivers a la Corey Davis, who I still think is immensely talented and is just in a horrible, horrible situation. So you see prospects that can fall in those types of situations. So, but if you go on sheer talent, I have Jeudy first, but like a sliver behind is DeAndre Swift. Like it is a 1A, 1B almost. Like it's so close for me. So
it's just, there's so much strategy, though, when it goes to that. Like even if I like Jeudy more, I'll be okay, be 100% honest. If Jeudy was my 101 and Swift was my 102, I would still take Swift first in a rookie draft because of – the RB
position scares
value that you, yeah. And like, I even right the other day, I saw something where somebody was trading, it was like N'Keal Harry and a 2022 for David Montgomery. We just had these rookie drafts, right? We just had these rookie drafts. Harry was consensus above him. Now you're getting Harry plus a 2022 for David Montgomery. Yeah, take David Montgomery ahead of him. You're cashing out a month after these rookie drafts or Devy drafts. So it's just give me Swift, give me maybe even Etienne. And depending on landing spots, I might take Taylor over Jeudy. And I know some people are going to freak out, but it's only because I feel like I can move him for Jeudy plus later on in the season. It's so bizarre how that works.
Right. Yeah, I definitely understand. I don't know. It's a whole show in itself, but I worry a little bit about running backs and just how the landscape is going. We keep seeing them hold out, you know, after a couple years, and it worries me that it's just going to get worse because people, they just don't want to pay the running back. So that's kind of always in the back of my head. But if you get a good, solid running back for 3 years, you can win three titles. Yeah. It's just you need that. I think you need that solid running back. You can replace wide receivers, it feels like, but. I was looking at Matt Miller's 2020 big board, which I thought was crazy. Basically, what he does is he projects what he believes to be like the first round, the top 32 prospects. We just looked at offensive guys. So I just kind of wanted to ask you guys, like, and we just kind of went it over it. I wanted to bounce it off both you guys and see what your initial impressions are. Like, who is too high? Who is too low? Is there anybody on here you think is just not going to be a Devy prospect? And is there anybody who should probably be on the list that is not on there, like someone who would be great for Devy? So that's kind of just a little bit. We're just going to kind of go back and forth a little bit and talk over. You guys both wrote some really good talking points here. So, Ray, I'm going to lead off with you. I like your first comment. So what hit you in the face right away?
I mean, T. Higgins at 5, and I just put goodness. I was just like, wow. Like, and this is – again, not an indictment against T. Higgins. I like T. Higgins, and I can understand why some people, I mean, what is he, 6'4", 200 pounds, 6'4", 205, or whatever his official height is. I mean, they got the Twin Towers literally out there at Clemson, but to see him at number 5, that was really, really shocking for me over LaVisca Chenault and some of the other wide receivers. So I disagree with that. I would not take – T. Higgins, and I would not recommend anybody in Devy or Dynasty rookie drafts next spring to take T. Higgins well, I say that, but then we just talked about landing spot, right? But where we are right now, there's no way I'm taking Higgins over Laviska Shenault, over CeeDee Lamb, over any of those other wide receivers that Matt's got listed. I'm just, that just threw me for a loop right off the top.
Well, my first impression was four running backs in the first round, especially after seeing one this past year, zero, and then two the year before. Do I got that right? I'm just trying to, off the top of my head.
Sony and Petty.
There you go. Two the year before. It's been like one or two the past couple of years, and I feel like, yeah, there hasn't been more than two in the past three, 4 years that I can remember. But four in the first round, and with that, J.K. Dobbins at 32 is the one I could see for sure the most falling out of that, although he's at the tail end of it. And this goes back to the conversation we were just having. The concern with running backs and the contractual deals and everything like that, I kind of feel like you're going to see GMs and teams more so look at running backs in the second round where you don't have that the first year or the first round contract, you know, obligations to these guys where they're getting paid more money, but then they're going to want more. And it kind of goes back. You start looking at the running backs that would be available in the second round if it was like that. And you go, man, he's still getting really good talent. And you can, you know, you tell him you can get like a Chase Young and then come back and get whatever, Cam Akers or, you know, or something like this in the third round, fourth round. Najee Harris is probably going to be a third, fourth round prospect, something like that. So it's, I can see why there's that concern there. So four running backs in the first round, I would be really surprised. That was kind of my first thing. And then, obviously, I'm with you guys on T. Higgins in the top five. But it makes me wonder, though, and you start to think about it, every year now, there's always – it feels like a receiver taken in the first round of the NFL draft that nobody had on their top five receivers for Dynasty or Debbie purposes, right? And, you know, Marquise Brown, John Ross. Some of these guys are going in the first round, and you're like, but why? You know, why? What are we missing? And – you know, I'm not saying T. Higgins is bad by any stretch, but you think that's like, you know, we kind of think like, man, that's a huge reach. I wouldn't be surprised, you know, if they're taking him over Shenault or CD or some one of these other guys. And then the last but not least, the nine Alabama players in the top 32. It just seems silly. It seems like cheating. It is crazy, man. And, you know, I kind of like Bama a lot. I like Nick Saban. So, but it is just, gosh, it's a farm league. It is NFL minor leagues, man, and it is crazy to see these guys pumping out this talent year in and year out.
Right, Ray, you alluded to the wide receivers on there. I like your comment about the Jalen Reagor, and yeah, you talk about that.
Yeah, I just thought that. I mean, I can understand why some people may not be as aware of Jalen Reagor right now. I mean, TCU is horrible. They did absolutely nothing. They're not going to be good this year either. Offensively, I hope Max Duggan is the starting quarterback. But Jalen Reagor definitely deserves, in my opinion, to be a top 32, in the top 32 consideration right now. Donovan Peoples-Jones, there's no way on the face of fantasy, this universe, stratosphere, I'd take DDJ over Jalen Reagor. There's no way. Reagor's game. I know he's not 6'2", 220 pounds, but at 5'11", 195, he can do something that none of these other receivers outside of Henry Ruggs can do, and that's flat-out fly. I mean, he is a dynamic athlete. He can play inside. He can play outside. Dominator rating off the chain. Had four different quarterbacks last year, over 1,000 yards receiving in that offense, and it's something that analytics and data can't, like, it can't show you. He's got so much dog in his game. He's tough as hell. When you watch him play, this kid just plays with, like, big stick swagger. You know what I mean? And I think you get him with and he's not going to be a top half pick. So if he's going, you know, 20 to 32, he's landing in a good situation. Hopefully it's a creative offensive coordinator. Jalen Reagor is, like, one of the guys that I would plant a flag on right now. And anybody in Devy, I'm telling you, you need to invest in this guy. And I don't say that often about a lot of people, but for him to not be in the top 32, Matt was tripping. I'm sorry, but he was tripping. Donovan Peoples-Jones, get out of here with that.
Yeah, and your other one you mentioned, the other one you mentioned was Tyler Johnson too. I mean, shit, I take Tyler Johnson over Donovan Peoples-Jones every day of the week, man. Like,
I'm not even, thank you, Dwight. I'm not even gonna get in there. I just ran about Rager, but crazy.
I would take Tyler Johnson over CeeDee Lamb, and he's got CeeDee Lamb at five. So yeah, I don't know. I know he does this for a living and stuff, but I don't know. I don't agree with his list a whole lot, but. And then you even pointed out, too, that he has Jonathan Taylor and Travis Etienne over DeAndre Swift, which is bananas to me. But
yeah.
So the list was a talking point, and you guys definitely – Ray, I love it, man. I love it. I love it, man. I love the way you talk about players, man. It's fun.
The other cool thing is on the positive side, two Alabama receivers with, you know, and they've had a track record of having some studs down there, right? But two at one time is kind of unheard of. So to think of two guys from the same receiving core going in the first round would be really cool and, you know, kind of nice to see. Kind of takes me back to the Cadillac
Ronnie Brown
days. Remember that? Yeah. And man, shout out to my boy Doug Langenfeld, my teammate. He played DN on that championship team. I don't know. That'd be cool to see. And I was having this conversation with my buddy the other day, and we said it on our group chat. Tell me, Judy, you can't not picture him now with the Redskins helmet on next year and Ruggs running, you know, nine routes and up in Buffalo with those other speedsters. It just makes a lot of sense. And for some reason, I had that feeling.
I was just going to say, Ruggs is going to break the combine. Mark my words right now. It's one of those things where Alabama, they've got four. We only talk about three. A lot of people only talk about Waddle, Judy, and Ruggs. But they've got Devonta Smith there as well, who's a fantastic wide receiver. So outside of Jerry Jeudy, I don't think Ruggs is going to have the volume. I think his game translates better at the next level than it really does in college because, I mean, he's going to enter the NFL and be one of the fastest players. And I don't like to do this because it's easy to just say, oh, he's Tyreek Hill. But he literally has Tyreek Hill level speed, and that's not hyperbole. It's legitimate Tyreek Hill level speed, yet he's bigger than Tyreek Hill. He's more refined as a wide receiver coming into the draft than Tyreek Hill was as a running back out of Oklahoma State. And he's got that same level of speed. Can you imagine? We're getting excited about Mecole Hardman. Could you imagine if you take out Mecole Hardman from the Chiefs and switch that with Henry Ruggs? I mean, it's like you said, Matt, if he's in Buffalo, it's bombs away with him and Josh Allen all day. And I've seen more and more NFL draft analysts bump Henry Ruggs up. And after the combine, mark my word, February, whenever the hell they finish doing the testing, and he jumps out of the gym, he runs a sub-4.3, it's going to be like, hey, man, LaVisca, who? T. Higgins, who? Like, let's get this Henry Ruggs up, you know?
Yeah, if John Ross is getting the capital that he got and was not the receiver that Henry Ruggs is, and you saw Marquise Brown jump up and get the draft capital he did, and he's better than John Ross, in my opinion, as a receiver, but still undersized, injuries, all these other things. Give me Ruggs, man. I'll take that.
Oh, yeah.
Hey, so, Dwight, I got a question for you, man. I know we get RB receiver heavy, but out of that first round – that top 32 projections. Give me some defensive takes here, and give me some of your big takeaways on the defensive side.
There are 10 defensive linemen, 7 edge rushers, and I actually think that's probably more true than any of you guys' statements. Like, you guys, I think this list is crazy, but I think he is pretty on with this defensive assessment. As much offensive talent's coming in, there is a hell of a lot of defensive talent coming in too. Chase Young and AJ Epenesa are like going to be like world beaters. They're both just tremendous edge rushers. Young's probably one. I think he's better than Bosa was, so I'd be really shocked if he wasn't the first pick. I think it's just going to depend on the team that gets him. If he needs a quarterback is there, they're not going to take him, but I think he is probably the best player in this class. Then you got Delpit, and you go farther down the list. You know, Grant Delpit's just a tremendous safety. Like, I think he's better than the Honey Badger ever was. You just got so much defensive talent. I love Clavon Chaisson. He's probably a guy who's going to challenge for the NCAA sack record. I think Epenesa is also going to be right up there, too. These guys are going to get 15, 20 sacks, possibly. Gross Matos from Penn State's another just tremendous, tremendous. Then in the interior, you got the two Auburn guys, Nick Coe and Derek Brown, who are just beasts. Like, this draft's going to create – it's got a lot of really good defensive talent. So I thought this last one was great. And I didn't even mention my boy Kenny Willekes from Michigan State. So, yeah, like, this draft was sick for defensive talent this last year, but next year is even better. So –
No, it's kind of even more my point. Like, man, if you take the edge rusher, take the defensive lineman as an NFL franchise, there's a bunch of them. Take that guy, build your roster the NFL way, the right way, and take any one of these backs in the third, fourth, fifth round. I mean, with Keyshawn Vaughn, go get Keyshawn Vaughn in like the fifth round or whatever. This is going to work in the real NFL draft, and you're going to be completely okay with that. So I don't know, man. Four running backs in the first round, I'm not seeing it.
Yeah, if he missed on any of them, it would be the – You said the 7 or 9 Alabama guys, whatever it was.
Yeah.
Some of these Alabama defensive guys are not going to go in the first round. I don't think Terrell Lewis, Anthony Jennings, I don't think those guys are going to make it in the first round. I love Dylan Moses quite a bit. But as far as the defensive guys, some of those guys are going to slip. And some of these other defensive linemen might slip down too, just because there's so many good ones. And you can get, you know, if you miss on those first couple guys, you can get one of these other guys coming back. So. Yeah, I think the defensive edge class next year is like 10, 15 deep. It's really, really good. I just actually wrote an article for DLF about that. So just love it. There's a lot of really good defensive talent coming in. So,
but I think that's a good point. And people, you know, so many times people are hung up on draft capital. Like, oh, he wasn't a first-round running back. Oh, he wasn't a first-round wide receiver. When you've got a class this deep on the defensive side, it's going to push some of those guys down. So let's just say hypothetically, Eno Benjamin falls to the late third or early fourth round. I'm not using that as a knock against him. I mean, this class is freaking talented, and you're absolutely right. If I can go defense and still land Eno Benjamin in the third, Najee Harris in the fourth, Keyshawn Vaughn, is not an indictment against those guys.
Right.
And it sucks because you hear so much about the draft capital and you do see it, but I think it's becoming less of a thing. You know, you got a guy like Royce Freeman last year who they didn't just hand the job. Philip Lindsay beat him, you know, and I think he's going to beat him again this year. A lot of people don't agree, but I think he's going to. So I think it's not as critical of a thing as it used to be. They will probably get a longer leash, but they don't get it handed to them like they used to, I feel like. So.
Just case in point, let's use the Seattle Seahawks case study on draft capital and let's see how that whole thing works out, right?
Oh, yeah.
And same thing, what's the point of taking Penny there? You know, we could talk about this all day, but Chris, not to say Chris Carson wasn't good enough, they could have got somebody later on, but stack up with the defensive side or whatever, spending first round, or if I'm a GM, I'm going to very highly consider even spending any type of first round capital on a running back. It just doesn't make sense anymore.
I think we'll wrap it there, man. That's, yeah, good point to stop, man. We could go on. I feel like us three could go on for another hour on just draft capital and all that. So we're kind of going off the rails a little bit for our Debbie, but hey, you know, this stuff. But yeah, I think, and we talked about this week going forward. We've got some exciting things coming up this season for you guys. We're going to kind of do like some more regional coverage and try to get some more names in your face of guys that, you know, you're not going to hear as much because. We talked about it a little bit. You know, I'm up here in Michigan, so I hear a little more about Big Ten. You know, there's guys in the SEC that I know, but guys around me are not going to know because we just don't hear about them as much. So we're going to try to get you guys coverage, you know, a little bit more from all over the country and hopefully bring some names into your library or your, you know, your little flip index cards, whatever you use, man. Spreadsheet, probably. What year are we in, Dwight? Good luck. We don't use the Dewey Decimal System.
I still use a composition notebook. I've got a black composition notebook. I literally still jot stuff down in that.
Yeah, I've got a Google spreadsheet, so I'm a little bit ahead of you. But
oh, okay. All right, Google spreadsheet.
I don't know, man. All right, first up, Ray, can you tell everybody where they can find your work, what you're working on, man?
Yeah, you can find me on Twitter at RayGQ over there at DLF. I'm going to be doing some game preview stuff. So talking about, you know, the mid games, the early games, the late games, highlighting, you know, the key matchups and Devy prospects, where they're ranked on people like Matt Miller's big board and stuff like that. So you guys can kind of, because everybody doesn't watch college, man. There's just so much going on. Family time, 150 50,000 different games going on. It's just hard to keep up with. So I'll be doing that over at DLF, and then, you know, Destination Devi, different host, and I'll have Dwight and Matt on at separate times so we can just go back and forth, and me and Dwight can just argue about Jerry Jeudy and Jalen Reagor all day. And, you know, hey, that's what I'm doing, and really, really just want to say thank you to you guys and to Tyler, and big respect to Andrew. This is a really cool deal. I don't take this opportunity for granted. You guys do fantastic, fantastic work. So I really just want to say thanks, and I appreciate being part of the DHH family and bringing some Devi insight to the Devi Happy Hour. So thank you guys. Really made it an exciting and smooth transition for me. So I look forward to this season.
All right, Matt, tell everybody where you can find you and what you're working on, bud.
Yeah, well, and, you know, first and foremost, Ray, we're truly happy to have you, man. Welcome to the team. And, you know, for me, everyone, Commissioner McGriff on Twitter just published an article on Najee Harris earlier this week. So take a look at that, kind of highlighting some of the things there, positives, some cons, but, ultimate spotlight on him. And then I'll continue to write some articles over the next coming weeks. I've talked about it a bunch. I like value, so I like, you know, I'm not usually trying to have the 101 in any of my drafts. So I'm going to write about guys I think I can get at the end of the first, second rounds of drafts, because I think there's gold to be struck. You'll see some stuff coming out of me with that over the next couple of weeks. And, here we are. It's football season.
Nice. God, it feels good to say, man. All right, you can find my work at DLF also. Still working on my IDP prospects. I just did the defensive line, and I'm also working on some kind of rookie reviews and stuff, guys you should buy, things like that. Focusing mainly on defense there. You can find me on Twitter at FF People's Champ. I don't tweet a whole lot, but mainly just retweet, you know, cool stuff I find about college guys and stuff, and try not to get duped into false reports about Ohio State quarterbacks and things like that. You actually got me on that one, Matt. I actually retweeted it, and I'm like, oh, that's not real. Damn it.
I got me.
Yeah, that one got a lot of people, I think.
More than anything, I was like, man, Fromm is the problem. Fromm did all this to everyone. This is his problem.
Yeah, you got me, man.
Hey, Dwight, do we need to go to that thing you were at, the expo? How was that, man? I'm sorry to interrupt you, but I saw you out there, man.
Yeah, they already announced the date for next year. August 16th, I believe it is. So I already put it on my calendar, so I don't schedule any weddings that weekend. God, it was so much fun. We met some fans, you know, like I think there was, you know, probably 80 to 100 fans. And I must have talked to this one guy about Devi quarterbacks for an hour. I mean, it was so much fun. But it was just nice to meet like so many people that I've talked to on Twitter for years and years, like J Mike, and met J Mike before, but, you know, Stompy and Ryan McDowell, and just, I mean, I feel like every time I turned around, and we went to B-Dub's Saturday night, I met, like, you know, Mike Clay and, you know, Mike Tagliera, and it's just like, holy shit. Like, just Marcus Grant. Oh, so awesome. Like, just, you know, just guys that you follow, and just, yeah, it was crazy. Just
that's cool.
To find that there's more people like me, you know, a lot like me. So – because where I'm from, there's nobody like me. I can't talk like I talk to you guys in front of my guys at work would just space out, and they'd be like, what the hell are you talking about? So it was nice to have a weekend where I could just chill with the guys and go to the Hall of Fame and stuff. It's just cool. So if anybody can make that next year, it's August 16th. So you got a year to plan it, a year to sneak it by your wife. Say you got a vacuum cleaner convention or some shit. I don't know. Whatever. Whatever.
Yeah, real fast. I don't know if I'm doing it wrong or doing it right, because the other day I'm watching the NFL Network and they showed Nick Chubb. And my daughter goes, Daddy, it's Nick Chubb. That's your favorite player. She's 7. I'm like, either I'm just getting her way too deep into this already, or I'm doing it the right way. So I don't know yet. We're going to see how that
goes. Right way, baby.
Yeah.
All right. You can find the pod on Twitter at Devi Happy Hour. And once again, email us at DeviHappyHour@gmail.com. And we will talk to you guys next week.